Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you're listening today, and a very happy Friday to you. Well, I'm excited about today's program. We're going to take some time today talking about how to navigate marriage with a sense of humor. You have to laugh. Laughter is actually good for your immune system. It's good for your perspective, and it's good, I feel like, to take ourselves less seriously, take God more seriously, ourselves maybe less seriously. Well, my guest today there says that there's actually a few rules to follow in marriage, like put the phone down, listen to each other, learn to compromise on old t-shirts, and toothpaste can make or break your marriage. We're going to unpack those in the first hour. In just a moment, Ryan O'Quinn will join me to talk about his book, Marriage Rules, the Hilarious Handbook for Surviving Marriage. And then second hour, we'll explore the power of Jesus' most famous message, the Sermon on the Mount. And after today, I really do believe that you may see that prayer with fresh eyes. In that second hour, we're going to talk about what it means to be resilient and how we can really draw that message from the Sermon on the Mount. We'll talk about that with Sheridan Boise. We pre-recorded that message, and I got to tell you, I'm still thinking about it. So I really think you're in for a great treat both hours today. Well, my first hour guest today writes this: humans are selfish by nature. Don't believe me? Give a kid a toy or a piece of candy. In most cases, their first thought is not to find someone to share it with. Not always, but generally, we are programmed to innately look out for number one. By definition, marriage is the exact opposite. We're to look out for and care for someone else. We make promises before God and our friends to actually put the well-being of someone else before our own. So when you get married, it will likely be a whole new way of disruptive thinking that rebuts the very nature of life as you knew it prior to the wedding day. You know, they say it only takes 21 days to form a new habit, so maybe we should all give it a try. After all, there's nothing but a healthy marriage to gain. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Ryan O'Quinn is an actor, comedian, husband, and daddy, not necessarily in that order. He's also the founder of Dad Dudes, a movement of fathers focused on being dads first and dudes second. He lives in Los Angeles with his wife, Heather, and their children. You can find him on the web at ryanoquinn.com. Ryan, welcome to the program. So nice to meet you.
Thank you so much, Susie. Appreciate you having me on.
Looking forward to the conversation, Ryan. And we start every show, every single day, talking scripture. We just love the Word of God. And it's always so interesting to us to hear our guests say, you know, I've been sitting on this verse lately, thinking about this. And just in those moments, our listeners are nourished and encouraged. And you chose a great passage, Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Ryan, talk about why you chose that passage and what it means to you.
Yeah, Susie, I've kind of clung to that life verse for the last several years, and I just think that's just a great reminder every single day to look at that. I have it sitting on my desk, and when I walk in, you know, regardless, whatever life throws our way, whatever curveballs come our way, and you know, we all have roller coasters that we go through, ups and downs and ins and outs of life. And no matter what, the Lord is with us wherever we go. And I even like to look at that verse, you know, in multiple translations. And one of the translations that I have says, have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be worried. Do not be terrified. Mm-hmm. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so, you know, obviously as humans, we experience both those things, worry and we get afraid. And when the Lord is with us, we cannot fail. So it's referenced, obviously, multiple times throughout Scripture, but even going back to the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, I think that's just a great verse to grab onto. It just kind of helps me start my day every day.
And What a good passage, Ryan, because it's like, boy, if there's ever a temptation to fear, it's in our day. Every which way we turn, we see reasons for fear. So what a great passage. Appreciate that so much. So before we get into the content of your book, I would love a little backstory, just your faith journey, how you came to Christ and when you first realized you were funny. I'm thinking you probably realized you were funny before you came to Christ, but let's hear it.
Yeah, I think maybe one came before the other, probably. First of all, I'm an only child, which probably explains a lot. I'm sure several people can relate. But I'm an only child, and not unlike many in the mid-70s, was a latchkey child, and so I kind of had to fend for myself and, you know, make my own way when it came to coming home to an empty house from school, although my parents were on the same block and their businesses, so it wasn't like I was, you know, left alone miles away. But I could walk to both their businesses. But, you know, I had to just kind of not play with siblings. I had to make things up for myself, and I had to pretend, and decided early on that I was good at pretending, I suppose. And then my name, very Irish, as you can tell, Ryan O'Quinn. And so I come from a long line of people who spin yarns, as my grandpa used to say. So just storytellers by nature, somehow innately, just people who tell story funny and tell funny stories. And so my great-grandfather and my grandfather and my father before me were just hysterically funny people, and somehow, some way, I just gleaned, maybe by osmosis or maybe innately, that sense of humor. And so I remember one of the first times, and I mentioned it in one of my books, but the first time I realized I was funny was right around fifth or sixth grade, and I didn't plan on being funny. I just said something out loud, and both my parents just wheezed with laughter, and I realized that maybe somehow I just see life a little bit differently, and I don't know what that is. My friend Ken Davis, who is also an amazing author and speaker and comedian, often says from the stage that comedians see life with just a little bit different perspective and have a little humorous slant on it. So perhaps somehow, some way, that filtered into my worldview. And I was, you know, I grew up in the Bible Belt, arguably the buckle of the Bible Belt in southwest Virginia, right near the Virginia-Tennessee border. And not unlike most in that neck of the woods, we went to church just like we would watch football. And, you know, it was just probably a social thing more than anything else for me, even personally, because that's what we were supposed to do, just get up on Sunday morning, and it was written into the calendar, and that was a thing. And there was no real relationship there for me for years. I just thought, you know, had you asked me if I were a Christian at, you know, any time before age 18, I would have said yes. And that's only because I wasn't something else. You know, mm-hmm. I wasn't Buddhist. I wasn't Muslim. I wasn't Jewish. I lived in America. Therefore, I must be Christian. So finally, the Lord got a hold of me. In an interesting way, my mother was diagnosed with breast cancer when I was in the 11th grade. And so for the first time in my life, I was faced with the idea of morality and mortality and all of those big questions. You know, Henry Blackaby, in his book Experiencing God, says that we all must come to a crisis of belief before we can proceed in our faith. And so I came to that moment as a, you know, as a 17-year-old, 18-year-old, where I asked the big question: what if I were, you know, raised somewhere else? What if I were born in Africa and, you know, was hanging out with elephants and had a bone through my nose because that was the social thing to do? Like, what would that look like? So I started asking those big questions of God, and as you know, He can handle anything, and He just made it powerful and clear to me that Jesus was the answer. And so in 1990, at age 18, I made a very, what I often call, rational, sober, adult, logical decision to follow Jesus with my life, and it changed everything.
Does change everything. That's wonderful, Ryan. Appreciate that. And even that, you know, I know we've got listeners who are seasoned believers, new believers, and even unbelievers who stumble on the dial. And to hear your story just might be the thing that's a catalyst to somebody else looking up for the first time. So appreciate that so much. So, Ryan, how did you meet your dear wife?
Oh, funny story. As you mentioned, I live in Los Angeles, so I'm an actor. Been here, gosh, 20 years, I guess, this year. And I was doing a television series called The Single Guy on NBC, and ironically enough, I was. it was shortly after I moved to Los Angeles, and one of my other co-stars on the show invited me to a birthday party. And I didn't know L.A. very well. And back in the day, you know, we didn't have the luxury of GPS built into our phone. So people who have been to or lived in Los Angeles will understand this. But I had a Thomas Guide, which is about a 700-page wire-bound map of the city. And so it was commonplace, especially in the late 90s, early 2000s, when you gave someone an address, you would follow it up with the Thomas Guide coordinates. You know, you'd say, here's my address, and follow it up with something like 561H6. And that was just L.A. code lingo for flip over to this page in the Thomas Guide and then look up these coordinates on the, you know, on the rows and the columns and find out where this place is. Well, I could not find out where this address was at all. He had given me this address, but it was just not in L.A. I finally realized that it was in Orange County, which is a totally different Thomas Guide. So I showed up to this birthday party late, and I didn't know anybody there except for the host who had invited me to the party. And there was this beautiful wallflower on the other side of the room who also did not know anybody there except for the host. And so I beelined to this young lady named Heather, and we started chatting. That was our first conversation, was chatting about all the people that knew each other in the room, and we didn't know anybody except for one person. So that was kind of what we had in common to begin with. And then we just struck up a great friendship. We became literally best friends very quickly, and we shortly discovered that we didn't want to be with anyone else as much as we wanted to be with each other. And so we spent all of our waking hours together, and one thing led to another. And I think our first date was a Braves Dodgers baseball series, and as they say, the rest is history.
That is awesome. Thank you so much for sharing it. Okay, so you've got lots of marriage rules in this book, The Hilarious Handbook for Surviving Marriage. One of them is, you said, is how you fed each other the wedding cake says a lot about your marriage. Help me out with that one.
Oh, that's a funny one. In fact, the cover of the book is a caricature of that very rule. The cover of Marriage Rules has a kind of a cartoonish character of me holding my wife, you know, as if we're crossing the threshold in our wedding attire, and she has a big piece of cake that she's getting ready to shove up my nose. So let me tell you the real story behind that. You know, we all go through that tradition of feeding each other the wedding cake, and that's part of what you do at the reception. And so imagine, if you will, about 400 people standing there watching us do this thing. And I cut a, you know, I'd planned this out in my head a little bit. And I thought, you know, the last thing I want to do is ruin, you know, Maybelline and God's perfect creation. he has spent hours pouring over just the right dress, of course, and the hairdo and the makeup, and everything is just perfect. So I got this tiny little morsel of cake, Susie, on my fork, and I just put it perfectly into her mouth and let the, you know, paparazzi do their thing. And Heather, in true, and she's a comedian as well, she's hysterically funny. And I think the attendees didn't expect anything less, but she grabbed a gigantic handful of cake. She just disregarded the fork and the plate altogether and just grabbed it in her hand. And I think the first thing that it hit was the back of my tonsils, and she just went up from there. And it went into my nose and up into my eyes and into my hair, and then uproarious applause from everybody. And that just kind of set the tone for our marriage. And I say in the book that we rarely ever take ourselves too seriously. And to survive marriage, you have to have a sense of humor. So needless to say, on day one, she started that off on the right foot.
Well done, Heather. But well done, too, Ryan, because we do spend time getting ready at the wedding. It seems like you dudes could go put your face in the sink, wash it off, and you'd be good. But we can't do that. So you both did it right, it seems to me.
Well, thank you. I hope so.
Talking to Ryan O'Quinn today. Title of his book, Marriage Rules, The Hilarious Handbook for Surviving Marriage. When we come back, we're going to talk about a few other rules. Like one thing you realize in marriage is how selfish you really are. He says also, don't be surprised by bad habits. Prepare yourself in advance for your special spouse not to be 100% perfect. That might be new news if you're newly married. More with Ryan O'Quinn when we return. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to comedian, actor, husband, father, Ryan O'Quinn. He's got a new book titled Marriage Rules, the hilarious handbook for surviving marriage. And Ryan, one of the things my mom told me when I was newly married was, don't be afraid to fight it out. She said, because if you're just trying to be a good wife, put up with a whole bunch of stuff, and then years later you burst and you blow because you're so tired of putting up with stuff, she said, it's not fair to him. She said, it's almost like concrete that's still soft and it's being shaped. You're shaping the foundation. Dare to say, you know, this doesn't work for me. And that was one of the best pieces of advice I'd ever received, because there were no secrets. And I did feel like we wrestled a lot in the early years, but it made things so much, more doable in the latter years. And you talk about marriage does really help us to see how selfish we can be. But sometimes newly married folks feel like it's unselfish to just not say anything. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was great advice from your mother. I hope we all have mothers that give advice just like that. And you know, the truth of the matter is we're different people. I mean, it sounds kind of elementary to say that, but we're certainly different people, and we come to a marriage with a whole lot of different things, sometimes baggage, sometimes just attitude, sometimes, background and history plays into a lot of that. And, you know, I say in the book, we all have our own bad habits, among other things, and one of the best ways to combat that is to just kind of hold up a mirror to somebody and show them what their bad habits are. And I think you're exactly right in that if we just kind of sit on that and if we stew, and bottle that all up, somehow, some way, it's going to come out. And it probably will compound at the tiniest little thing, and there'll most likely be a blow up over something that was minute when it's really just, weeks and weeks or months of a history when you didn't really talk something out. So yeah. I think that's great advice.
Good. And, you know, that's just, I think, is some social cues that we get from each other, as hard as it is, but I gotta read this from your book on the bad habits. That's number four. Don't be surprised by bad habits. Ryan writes, other things to expect are open mouth snoring, navel lint extraction, teeth grinding, hogging the covers, clipping toenails while on the potty, and picking teeth in public with a business card hand raised, he says. My wife called me out on that last one a few weeks ago at the local Japanese restaurant. I thought it was resourceful, but she was not impressed. Don't be discouraged from openly talking about what annoys the stuffing out of you. Be honest and mature with discussions, unless, of course, your spouse is just being disgusting. Then you have every right to fight fire with fire. The best way to break an undesirable pattern is by holding up a mirror. You'll probably be able to fix a few bad habits as time goes on. But most importantly, it's about accepting each other the way you are. And such a good, that's hilarious, but it's such also a good balanced perspective, because on one hand, I think we just sometimes don't realize the things we're doing, and someone kind of gives you the feedback. You're like, oh, thank you for being a safe place for me. That's so different than when you're not safe with your spouse. Do you know what I'm saying? Where a person becomes, just has a critical Yep. spirit towards their spouse. That's a whole different ball of wax. So make the distinction for us, because one is very helpful and fruitful and the other is really degrading.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, again, keeping in mind the whole idea of having a sense of humor going into marriage, I think that is a big key. And obviously, I sort of half tongue in cheek, although I think all of those examples that I put in the book are things that I did, or my wife helped me realize that I did, that were probably less than helpful to an evening of romance, for sure. Mm-hmm. But there certainly is a difference. You know, when you can criticize someone with a tone. And then you can also help somebody see the light of day. And that example of, my wife called me out when I had a credit card at a local restaurant. I feel like it's a scene right out of a movie or a sitcom. And I just didn't feel like getting up and walking all the way across the restaurant and grabbing a toothpick for crying out loud. So I just whipped out a business card. And I thought, well, I'm just being resourceful here. This is just, we're recycling. This is fantastic. And she just gave me the death stare, you know, that all of us dudes are privy to. And, it was a funny moment, of course, at the time. But I realized, you know, she's actually offering real feedback, real honest kind of feedback here. And so, and she's notorious also for, like I said, for fighting fire with fire. And she will burp. I don't think I'm betraying any confidences when I tell you this, but if I were to burp out loud, I think it was really funny. Heather can put me to shame. So I
love it.
That straight away, you know, year one into marriage. So that's what I mean by fighting fire with fire.
I like her already. You know, you got to be able to fight fire with fire. I raised three sons. We raised three sons, but I used to tell them, you know, home is a place where you definitely want to be able to be at home and be free to be you. But you need to also know you don't want your wife to be disgusted by you. And there's, again, it's like on one hand, you want to be at home. But on the other hand, it's amazing how gross you dudes can be if you're not paying attention.
Yeah, so true. You know, and as funny as my dad was, I have to give a little bit of props here. As funny as my dad was, he wasn't that guy. You know, he wasn't the disgusting guy. And he actually taught me believe it or not, a little bit of, you know, to be a bit judicious about body sounds and body things.
Way to go, Dad.
The kind of way that you act around a lady, whether that's your mom or your sister or anybody else. It's one thing when you're hanging out with the dudes, but, you know, the ladies are a special and a different breed. So
way
again,
That was
early on. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing the same thing with my son.
That is fantastic. This one made me laugh out loud. You said a large majority of males suffer from a debilitating sickness that you just made up called finding impaired. Okay, you just need to know at our house, I kind of dangle it over my hubby's head to just kind of tease him, but I tell him he doesn't have the finding anointing. And he's like, I do have the finding anointing. I'm like, you don't have the finding anointing. And we have this battle back and forth because he can be staring right at the cereal cupboard and say, wait, there's no more Raisin Bran. I'm like, two boxes right in front of
you. Exactly. And, you know, I'm trying to pass it off by saying, hey, it's not our fault. This is just genetics, lady. Like, same thing happens in my household. My wife will tell me exactly where something is. The other day, I could not, for the life of me, find the remote. It was nowhere to be found. And it's that little bitty, you know, Apple remote, the little thin one. So, you know, I could find the big one, but it was this little bitty thin Apple remote. And she said, this is where it is. And I said, no, it's absolutely not there. And so we had this battle between the, you know, her in the kitchen and me in the living room yelling back and forth at each other. And she made a beeline. I'm fairly certain she didn't even slow down or stop. She walked directly to where she told me it was, picked it up, and laid it in my hand. And I just felt like an idiot. But I'm still advocating that, you know, it's some kind of a genetic disorder we have.
Yeah.
We just don't have that finding anointing.
Maybe there's some kind of, like, cream or antibiotic or something you guys can take.
Perhaps if there's some sort of prescription that somebody could write, I will gladly go fill that.
Okay.
So maybe one of your listeners can help us.
I'm telling you, that's going to be your ticket to fame. If you can discover what that thing is and start to market it, it'll be amazing. Well, we got about a minute before our hard break here, but I'm just curious, is that because this whole finding impaired thing, because you're compartmentalized? I mean, we can banter and tease all day long. You guys are strong and mighty and we love our men. We're so grateful for that. But is it because you're compartmentalizing your thinking, because you're thinking about something while you're looking for something, so you're not really fully engaged, or what is that about?
Possibly so. You know, all joking aside, and obviously people work differently, but my wife and I work much differently in that I'm kind of a one-track mind kind of, you know, I look at the linear calendar, figure out exactly where I have to be next. I turn on toggle on that little switch that tells me exactly when I have to leave in order to make the next appointment. My wife, and I feel most women are this way, can just multitask. They can raise multiple kids at the same time. They can change a diaper and eat a Nutella crepe, you know, without even looking up. They figure this thing out. So somehow, some way, they're just better human beings in that way. And I think it just depends on the individual. But for me, that's the problem in our household. She can do so many more things at one time than I can.
Love it. Talking to Ryan O'Quinn about his book, Marriage Rules, the Hilarious Handbook for Surviving Marriage. I think we might have a few copies to get into your hands. Here's how we're going to do it. We're not taking calls today. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put Marriage Rules in the subject line. Make sure you include your mailing address, and a few of you will get a copy. More with Ryan O'Quinn when we return. Having a good day today. I'm Susie Larson. This is of The Promise, talking to comedian and actor and author Ryan O'Quinn. He's got a book titled Marriage Rules, the hilarious handbook for surviving marriage. Really just funny content, but really applicable content, great content. And this one I thought was kind of funny. And we were kind of picking on the guys, and this one kind of picks on the guys a little bit. But girls, we get our turn too, so hang with me. But you were talking about listening closely and how details are actually important. This is, wow, this is such a true thing. But your wife was running late. I think she was stuck in traffic. And so she asked you to get your daughter's dance uniform and her stuff and bring it to the studio. And she was, I think, pretty detailed with where to get what, where the bags hanging, blah, blah, blah. But you heard something different. Tell us that story.
Absolutely. Well, again, I made that mistake, as I mentioned before the break, of trying to do more than one thing at one time, which I'm not good at all. So apparently I was, you know, answering emails or looking at the computer all the while she was giving me specific instructions as to exactly what I was supposed to do. So in order to make this day run smoothly, I had to go grab the ballet clothes and the ballet shoes and get this one particular bag and drive directly to the dance studio and kind of meet her in the middle. Well, somehow, some way, that translated into grab some shoes and some clothes. And so I grabbed a pair of sweatpants, not the ballet clothes. I grabbed a pair of jazz shoes. See, I was close. I had the dance thing right.
Sweats and jazz shoes. That's perfect.
Shoes. Yeah, apparently it's different. But I grabbed jazz shoes and not ballet shoes. And so I showed up, you know, right on time, thinking that I had just saved the day, and again was met with that disdain of a look, like, you idiot. You had done this all wrong. And so then later, needless to say, we had a little discussion about that and talked about how details are important. So I put that in the book, again, with a humorous story, kind of couched in humor and painted a true story, a funny story about it, but all the while copying to the fact that I need to really pay better attention. And I guess that goes both ways for either spouse. Like, put down anything else you're doing, really pay attention, especially when it comes to the family. These things are important. So make sure that you hear what was delivered in the info. And I just didn't do that.
Well, and we all do that. You're so right, Ryan. And it's so important to be, even reflecting back, this is what I heard you say, because enough, I mean, that is a funny story, and we've all committed that offense. But you do that enough times, you do send the message that you're not worth listening to, you're not important. And that one little thing over time, if repeated over and over again, don't you feel like that can take one withdrawal after another out of the account to the point where you start to run on empty relationally?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's one of, you know, we were talking about that at the top of the show, where multiple offenses, you know, kind of breed the wrong habit. And so, you know, by looking at your spouse in the eye and by hearing what they have to say, and again, it sounds, you know, it's something like a page out of a different kind of a handbook, wherein you repeat what they say and you have it. But maybe that's the answer. You know, maybe that's the answer in the interim to train yourself to be that person who actually hears your spouse, because multiple times over and over again, the message that you will be sending as a response is, I don't care about this conversation, nor you, enough to listen to exactly what it is you need to say. And obviously unhealthy for any marriage. So it's a good tip.
Good tip. And another one you offer here, another rule, is your vocabulary can determine your future. So pick up a dictionary. And girls, I want to talk to us about this. I know this goes both ways for guys and gals, but it goes back to, if we're feeling repeatedly not listened to, we can become a nag. And scripture even talks about, you know, how annoying a nag is. And so I want you to talk about that. Dare to talk to women today, because you've been wonderful and self-deprecating, and you've confronted the guys here. But we as women have a huge power in our words, and we fling those words at times and don't even realize the damage that we do. And so speak to that one, if you would, Ryan.
Yeah, you know, it's again, sounds like a bumper sticker adage, or, you know, a T-shirt cliche, but the truth of the matter is, we can't read your minds. You know, that's been cliche since the Lord invented marriage, right? That we can't read your mind. And good, strong, clear communication is vital to keep a marriage running smooth and strong, you know, and understanding what the opposite sex thinks can allow you to avoid those potential pitfalls of an argument that we were talking about. And so, and there are, you know, crazy stats out there, and I may have even referred to them in the book, about how many words females use per day as opposed to males, and how, you know, how they need to talk. And so And again, not throwing stones. I'm just saying that sometimes we tend to tune out with a lot of talk. We just don't hear exactly what it is you're trying to tell us. And so it works both ways, obviously. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be give and take. But, you know, good, clear, concise communication is vital. Ladies, don't think for a second that we can infer. Again, not one of our superpowers at all. So if you say something, we may think it means something else, and unless it's exactly that thing that you want us to hear, we're probably not going to hear anything other than that. So no parenthetical statements, because we just won't get it. And maybe I'm speaking first person here, certainly speaking first person, but I think probably several others fit in this category where unless you tell us exactly what it is you want us to hear, don't hint about Valentine's Day, don't hint about that present that you want, just say it, and that way we will avoid all kinds of confusion.
And you can say it, and you can snap a picture, and you can text it to him, and you can email him the link, and he will love you for
See?
It.
This day and age, just put it on that Amazon wish list.
Come on.
Makes everything.
Indeed. So just with regard to communication on our side, when we start to feel blown off and we start to nag and say, again, don't forget, sometimes it's better during a non-heated moment to sit down and say, when you da-da-da-da-da, it makes me feel. And so we can say, I want so much to be connected on a deeper level. So I'm taking a moment when we're not fighting. I don't want to nag you. I don't want to be that person. But when you do this or when you repeatedly forget this, it makes me feel this way. But we also need to be intentional as women to build you up randomly, just to mean to say, I so appreciate how you get up and go to work every day when there are guys who are in and out of jobs all over the place or whatever. But those kinds of affirmations go a long way, don't they?
Absolutely. And I talk about it later in the book. I don't know if you're going to get to this rule, but at one point I talk about clapping loudly for your spouse. And I think that's a perfect segue for exactly what you were talking about. And it even means verbal affirmation. And I think I have it in the chapter on kids where I say that, you know, it's biblical to say that we're training up, you know, the kids who are coming behind us. The next generation are going to look like us, walk like us, act like us, you know, do everything. They're going to be mommy and daddy. And so I talk about how if you want to teach your kids how loving parents are to treat one another, the best way to do that is to set a great example of marriage in front of them. And that entails, you know, praising them out loud. Tell daddy it's great, you know, that he's gone to work, or mommy it's great that she's gone to work, and, you know, pat them on the back for even mundane chores and tasks and things that happen around the house, and praise them in front of your children, because they're going to replicate that and they're going to learn that that's how we praise each other. And then, you know what, reward begets reward, right? I mean, that just breeds a better marriage all the way around. So I think affirming out loud, especially in front of the children, is a great way to, you know, to add bonus points to your marriage, for sure.
And I can only imagine, well, I do now, you know, what that does for the kids, because, again, so many of their friends are from broken homes, and if they are hearing one spouse bless the other, their parents talking to each other, and even laughing together, as you're talking about, I mean, that gives them a settled sense that we're going to be okay. And, boy, just passing that on to our kids is just so huge. Well, I love this one, this rule. You said, do something to make her day for no reason at all. It will give you superpowers. That's excellent. Unpack that one for me, if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're pretty good about the biggies. You know, most guys, especially with the advent of mobile phones, you know, we'll remember, quote, remember the anniversaries. And, we've got Valentine's Day coming up here shortly, of course. And so we'll hit the biggies, Christmas, obviously, and birthdays. But you know what? Outside of those, I just say, add it as another bonus. Do something that maybe he or she didn't expect. Just for no reason whatsoever, send flowers to work. Just for, you know, when he or she comes home, have dinner, prepare. You know, guys, do something totally that was not planned, she was not expecting. Just do something that makes him or her feel special. And again, that, another one of those fits in the category of reward begets rewards kind of thing, where just the look on the face and then just days that follow, lift them up. And again, I think that's biblical. You know, that's our job as well, is to lift the other person up. And so that's just a tiny in the grand scheme of things, but just something that you can do that's outside of the norm, because we all are guilty of getting into the routine and getting into the habit. And, you know, I'm 14 and a half years into marriage now, and we can fall into the trap of phoning it in, you know, and that's the last thing you want to do. And one of the ways to make it exciting is to just do something for yourself that they absolutely didn't expect. I mean, make it a birthday party on their half birthday, something like that.
Oh, I love that one. I'm going to text my husband that idea. It's perfect. Okay, so in the section on intimacy, you said males are sometimes required to do a courtship dance. And that's a great segue from what you just said, too, because I think we get bored in marriage when we do start to phone it in. And so some of these surprises, this whole idea of a courtship dance, I think we're really, as women, we're not hard to sweep off our feet. If you listen, if you love us, if you pursue us, I mean, really. So talk about this courtship dance.
Yeah, you're right. You know, it doesn't take a lot of effort, but I think the key word in there is it does take effort.
Yeah.
So, again, sometimes, and again, myself included, you know, we get notorious to get into that rote, you know, that routine, and where, and I think I use a funny illustration in the book where I talk about spiders, and male spiders have to do a courtship dance, and the female spider has so many things that she's doing all day long. And so you can't just expect to come home, especially when we're talking about the intimacy category. You can't just expect to come home and, you know, and this is going to happen because it's a day that ends in a Y. That's just not reality, especially with multiple little kids and life happens and it's just not going to happen. But my point is, in all of that, albeit humorously, like we have to make an effort. And men, that goes for us especially. And again, perhaps I'm revealing too much and just talking about first person here, but I realize that it does take, you know, some effort on our part. And just the tiniest little gestures, even going back to what we just talked about a few minutes ago, even starting, you know, earlier in the week with just special things and little treats and the way that we treat our spouse and the way that we praise them and just all the things leading up, you know, to a night with your spouse is just special in a whole lot of ways. And so I think we can we take that for granted years into marriage, and it's time to check ourselves, you know, every little bit to make sure that we're keeping things fresh and that we're keeping things right, you know, in that area. And there's just little hints and tips and tricks that we can do that, but it does take a little bit of effort. And so, you know, no reward ever is easy, and if we just work hard at it, it'll be totally worth it.
It's just so worth staying curious about your spouse, because it's easy to think, well, if she doesn't like flowers or she doesn't like jewelry, she doesn't like that stuff, but she likes something. And so to find out, is it music? Is it,
right,
would she love a shirt from her favorite store? I mean, who knows? But to those little things, boy, they make all the difference. When we come back, we're going to talk about the rules. Money makes you blind. There will be one friend couple where you don't like both people. You can't make your spouse something they're not. And there is such thing as dinner party etiquette. Just saying. When we come back, more with Ryan Quinn. Title of his book, Marriage Rules. Back in a moment. Nobody sings love songs like Stephen Curtis Chapman. I'm just saying. Hope you're having a great Friday today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to actor, comedian, father, husband, Ryan O'Quinn. Title of his book is Marriage Rules, the hilarious handbook for surviving marriage. I'm not sure, but I think we've got two or three copies to get into your hands today. I'm not taking calls, but I'd love to get an email from you, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Include your mailing address. I don't have time to run after you and get that back from you. Put Marriage Rules in the subject line, and we'll draw names and get some books out into your hands. Love to do that. One of the marriage rules that you say, Ryan, is that money makes you blind. Say more.
Yeah, that's that one certainly needs some explanation there. But I'm specifically talking not just to newlywed, but at the top of that chapter, I talk specifically to newlyweds and how I talk about how oftentimes, really the summary is that we can equate love to spending. And my wife and I were, you know, fell prey to that trap straight away, where we thought we first of all, my excuse to not get married was to have everything in order, to have everything just right, to have enough money in the bank, to have the right house, to have everything. obviously that's not true. And so we got over that hurdle straight away. But then we felt the need, and many of us fall into this trap as well, felt the need to keep up with the Joneses, another cliche, where we think that we need everything and our kids need everything that everybody around us has in order to make us happy. And so the bottom line is, you know, we can't equate money to happiness. We can't equate love to spending. And so don't get blinded by that. That's a trick that we can all accidentally fall into. And I had some crazy quotes to share as well when it comes to money. You know, it's not cliche. It is cliche, but it's absolutely true to say that sex and money are the two things that, you know, are two of the biggest causes of divorce. But I ran across some stats, Susie, that are just staggering that I wanted to share with your listeners. A survey recently showed that 47% of couples said their partner has different savings or spending habits than they do. 20% said they have spent more than $500 at least once in their marriage and never told their spouse. And check this out, 6% said they maintain a separate or secret bank account or credit card that their husband or wife doesn't know about.
Whoa.
And so I just think it's time to pull the covers back on all of that and say, no, we need to be completely transparent in our marriage, because this will come to a head somehow, some way. And it's going to be detrimental to a marriage if you don't sort this out straight away. And money can be great, and it can also be evil. So we need to get a rein on that straight away.
Oh, that's really a good word, because money is to serve us. We're not to serve it. And, boy, do we get trouble when we do. How about this one? Sometimes you have to disconnect to reconnect. What do you mean?
Yeah, you know, it's absence makes the heart grow fonder kind of a thing where and there's lots of funny stories that I mentioned in the book. Again, absolutely true story. But oftentimes I will send my wife away on a long weekend. She's a photographer by occupation, and she works at home, and she's a full-time mom. You know, part of the beauty of my job is I get to sort of clock out a little bit, you know, and at least come home and put my feet up. But she is working nonstop. And so this one particular time, I sent her away for a long weekend and sent her to a spa retreat, which I highly recommend, guys. That's real bonus points in a marriage, by the way. Send them away for a long weekend. But it was one of those weekends, man, where everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong. I had a kid with the stomach flu. I had another kid who was just trying to figure out, getting out of diapers. And it was just a comedy of errors. And I had this one moment emblazoned into my brain where I'm standing over with a soup ladle in my hand trying to dole out soup, and one kid in the bathroom trying to figure it out, another one throwing up in the trash.
Bless your
next
heart.
But yes, again, something my wife puts up with regularly. But when she came back, she was so refreshed and she was so thankful to get away just for a few minutes and, in her own words, have adult conversations. I think that's another thing that we often forget about, when your spouse is with kids all day long, just give them a moment to have adult conversations. So I let her get away. And then when we reconnected, it was so much more special because she appreciated the time away. I certainly appreciated what she does and goes through on a daily basis. And it was just great. It's a great trick for your marriage. And I have another quick little tip on that note as well. Christmas before last, and again, not everyone can do this, and I realize that, but I work from home as part of my job, and Christmas before last, I gave my wife Tuesdays, which sounds very strange, but I wrapped up in a box Tuesdays. So she unwrapped a huge box, got down to a smaller box and a smaller box and a smaller box, that Russian egg, Russian doll kind of trick. And she unwrapped Tuesdays. And so every Tuesday when it works, most Tuesdays it does, give or take, she just goes away starting at noon on Tuesday. I pick up the kids from school and she goes to a movie or she goes out to dinner with girlfriends. And until after bedtime, she is free to do whatever she wants to do. Sometimes it's shopping. Sometimes it's hanging out with friends. Sometimes just sitting in a dark movie theater at 3 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon. But that time away really refreshes her in a powerful way and has really benefited our marriage.
So you tease yourself huge in that book, Ryan, but that is downright brilliant. Men, take notes. Follow Ryan's lead. I love it. I love the spa retreat. I love Giver Tuesdays. And even just your willingness to do what you did so that she could have the time she had. And I'm sure she was feeling refreshed and you were feeling like, no, I need a spa weekend. But even
at the
so
end of that weekend, I certainly did.
Oh, God bless you for that one. So here's, we got a few more minutes to cover a couple of these rules. There will be one friend couple where you don't like both people. Say more.
Yeah, well, that's just life, isn't it?
Yeah.
I talk about in the book how there's just no way that every couple friend that you have or that you make throughout marriage is just going to match up with both of you. Sometimes you just have to take one for the team from time to time, get over it. You have to put up with the unpleasant person, and then I offer a few suggestions in there. I say, avoid double dates. That's probably not the best idea. Fake it. Get over it quickly kind of a thing where you just kind of fake it and go through it, or you just surround yourself with a buffer and invite lots of people. So
that's just
a fact of life. It's going to happen, and, you just have to roll with it or just never see those folks again. And oftentimes that's not a solution.
Oh, very good. This is a great one. Life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. Say more.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And of course, that's a song lyric. But, we can get so busy, and I'm notorious for this as well, even looking into our smartphone, this day and age. And again, I'm person number one that's notorious for this. But oftentimes, rather than experience something, we'll whip out our phone in order to grab that perfect Instagram shot or that perfect Facebook shot. And then sometimes we dive our nose either into that phone or into that computer, or we try so hard to make a great experience for our family that life is happening in the background behind us. So my point is, it's okay to not capture that for all of posterity and just enjoy the moment, because life is happening every single day with your spouse and with your children. And it's okay to just stick that phone in your pocket and just stick your arm straight out and hug your wife and hug your kids, because that's the moment you're really trying to capture anyway.
Oh, good word. Just got about a minute and a half before we pray, but I'm wondering, Ryan, and this is such a fun book. You'll laugh out loud and you get lots of great tips from Ryan. But Ryan, what's your heart for the reader and for the listener today? What do you want for them?
Yeah, I think that, the real takeaway, one of the real takeaways, Susie, is this, and that is, we all, and this is a broad stroke generalization, obviously, but generally speaking, we all go through the same things in life, give or take, the roller coaster of life that I mentioned at the top of the hour, where I said, we're going to have life and deaths and births and marriage, and we're going to go through all of those things. And, if we can just zoom out just a little bit and maybe, just maybe, not take ourselves so seriously, maybe just surround ourselves with a lot of laughter and a lot of humor, and at the same time keep the Lord the center of our marriage, the center of our walk, it's going to be a great ride. And that's, albeit it's funny throughout, that's kind of my forte in storytelling, but I think there's some actual real moments of nuggets of truth and some wisdom, hopefully biblical wisdom in there to strengthen a person's marriage. So that's the real takeaway.
Definitely. And I think you will have a good time as you read, and you'll laugh, and you'll remember not to take yourself so seriously, but really that a great marriage can be built with intentionality, with a heart of faith and a heart of love. One last piece of advice before I ask Ryan to pray. And here it is. Men want to be on a throne. Women want to be on a pedestal. And they both want alone time in the bathroom. Can I get an amen?
That's absolutely an amen. I think we could just stop right there and everybody gets it. But yeah, the truth of the matter is, sometimes we just need some time away. And for crying out loud, I'm notorious for saying, go ask your mother. And it's probably at the most inopportune moment. Just give each other space, especially during those times. Let them do their business, and you won't regret it.
Yeah, you want a strong marriage? Give her potty time, I'm just saying. So as we wrap up, Ryan, thank you for this time. It's been really sweet. Would you pray for that person listening today who's realized as they're listening, they haven't laughed, but they haven't pursued their spouse either. They've just sort of been on autopilot. And golly, there's an opportunity here to engage with God, engage with their spouse, and to start enjoying life again. Would you pray for that person?
Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for Susie and her show. We thank you for the whole notion behind Living the Promise. And God, we just ask that you would strengthen marriages, that you would help us all to realize that you are a God of laughter. You are a God of creativity. You're a God of humor. And pray, Father, that you would just strengthen marriages. Everyone within the sound of this listening audience, God, just pray that you would touch them in a special way, and pray that marriages would be restored and marriages would be healed, and that each person would just come back into a marriage with a renewed faith for you and a renewed heart for those vows that we said years ago. And we thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Ryan, thank you for this time today. It's been great.
Thanks so much, Susie.
Really enjoyed talking with you. Title of his book, again, is Marriage Rules, The Hilarious Handbook for Surviving Marriage. I am darling, you are pain. I am night, and you are the day. We're like sunshine and rain. We're so different from each other. You are Doesn't that just make you bop? I love that song. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. Hey, in just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. If you know someone who needs a good laugh and needs a reminder of just putting some intention into your marriage, you can send this thing out by email, Facebook, or Twitter with a click of a button. All right? It'll be up in just a bit. Now remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and He is the one who will keep you strong to the end. Have a blessed day. If you're able, stay tuned for hour two again, another great hour up ahead.